look at citation 3, and this is from the Chovos HaLevavos, this classic work on the topic of bitachon. If a person does not trust Hashem, he is placing his trust in an alternate force, some force that Hashem created in the world, that according to natural means, I'm trusting that item to come through for me. Money, a doctor, a boss, whatever it is. Hashem removes himself and allows the person to be provided for by the strategy that the person has trusted in. You want it that way? So be it. And this is a very Kabbalistic principle that Hashem runs the world according to the way humanity wants it to be run. If humanity wants an increased relationship with Hashem, Hashem's all ears and is willing to do it. If they want less relationship, you want to go and do your own thing. Hashem very often allows it, and he intercedes as he sees fit to stop bad behavior. But basically, do what you want. A person's goal ought to be totally trusting in Hashem, everything that he does, recognizing that the effort that I put in is only viable if Hashem blesses it. I have to do it because that's what I'm obligated to do. I go see my clients, I'm pleasant with them, but they're only going to find favor in me if Hashem wills it so. Number four.
I guess, yeah. I'm sorry, I think I'm missing something here. Hashem removes himself. How we can say that Hashem completely removes himself?
Very good. I was wondering if it would bother you. There's a classic Kabbalistic illustration, an incident. A student came to his entrance exam in one of these very rigorous spiritual Kabbalistic yeshivas, and the mentor asked him, I'll let you in if you tell me, where is God? So the young man thought, this is a piece of cake. Where is God? God is everywhere! Young man, I'm not interested in the phrases and the cliches. Tell me, where is God? What do you mean? He's in heaven, he's in earth, he's in us, God is the world! I'm asking you a third time. If you can't give me the right answer, you will not be admitted. Where is God? So the young man, he's not taking any risks. He says, Rebbe, if I'm getting it wrong, so teach me! So the Rebbe says, God is wherever man lets him in. God is everywhere, that's true. But if you want to know where you're going to pick up his presence, it's going to be wherever you want to pick up his presence. You have to invite him in. That's why we have a mezuzah on the front door. God passes by every day and says, oh, they want me. Yeah! Be glad to come. You invite him in. People very often, this is what frustrates me, I mentioned before we started about initiative. People, if God's around, I'm twiddling my thumbs, so let him inspire me. It's not God's job to go inspire you. If you choose to be inspired, you ask God for inspiration, he'll give you more than you ever counted on. You'll feel great. But you have to want it. It's very nice, God's everywhere. That's, when you want to sound religious, these are the lines. But if you want to be religious, God's wherever man lets him in.
This is different. When you said God hid himself after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed,
it's harder to come by. Sure. But these are all levels. God was very open at certain moments. At the revelation of Sinai, Jewish people said, yes, we're interested. So God said, oh, you're interested. Great. I have what to show you. I'll show you who I am. You'll have a perception. But that's when we say God allows himself to withdraw. That's what we're saying. We're not saying God ceases to exist or anything like that. It's a Kabbalistic term that's given to misrepresentation if you don't understand this illustration, this concept. That, of course, Hashem's everywhere. Hashem remains everywhere. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. But if you want to sense Him, He has to be invited. Doesn't force Himself on people. And when He does, it's very unusual, and it's a special gift. It's like, you know, we say Hashem does give gifts. Sometimes He forces it on a person. There's a person who keeps running away from God, and somehow Hashem keeps, you know, running after him. Doesn't let him get away. There was a guy who said, you know, God, if you're really there, give me a sign. And he opened a siddur. And he saw Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the affirmation of faith staring out at him. And he thinks to himself, that could have been chance. Closes it, and he opens it a second time, later in the book, and again, it's staring out of him, the same words. He didn't realize he's, you know, it's printed many times in the Siddur, in different places. He opens it a third time, and this time he opens it to Ma'ariv, and again it stares out at him, and he's like, I guess there is a God. Yeah, sometimes God gives gifts. But essentially there's a mechanism, and that's what we're trying to learn. What's the mechanism that Hashem should be close to the person, or, God forbid, He would be distant? And that, right now, we're saying is based on invitation, whether you want Hashem to impact your life.
But if the person, for some reason, doesn't want to live an honest life and goes his way and cheat people out of
right,
the, whatever, money, businesses, whatever.
Good.
It doesn't mean that God actually withdraws Himself, and it's not really predetermined the outcome. And
No. God will intercede whenever He's ready to, but He's not holding that person's hand in friendship. He may let the person, for whatever reason, succeed in what he's doing until the whole thing crashes. That could be. And that's the great question that even Moshe asked. He asked Hashem, why did you let wicked people succeed? This is such a question. Mm-hmm. The simple answer is because that's how you create free will. You create free will by fostering it and by allowing it. And free will means some people are going to choose wrongly. And you allow them to choose wrongly. And you let it play itself out, and you let other people see that choosing wrongly might succeed. But anybody who pays attention realizes that's only in the short term.
So in a way you can say the person is doomed anyway.
He's right. We make decisions based on right and wrong. We do not make decisions, moral decisions, based on success. We make decisions based on right and wrong.
So somebody who becomes rich and dies rich, it doesn't mean that...
doesn't mean he's righteous.
Righteous, right.
Didn't
right.
make him righteous.
Right.
We don't judge things like that. Mm-hmm. We judge things based on right and wrong.
Yep. Okay.
I mean, I'll throw you a curveball just because it's in my mind right now. There was a woman in Nazi Germany whose two children were thrown onto a truck to be taken away. And she was following the truck, and she was crying. And both kids were calling out, Mama, Mama, you know, save us. And she wanted to reach into the truck to take the kids. And the Nazi guard stopped her. So she said, my kids! And the Nazi guard decided he was going to have fun with her. So he saw that there are two kids, and they're both reaching out to her. And he said, sadistically, you could have one. She couldn't do it. I'm not saying the ruling of what she should have done, but I'm telling you that a Jew is trained from day one. We're not making the decision in the final analysis on success. We're making the decision in the final analysis based on right and wrong. And a Jew living in Nazi Germany will have trouble choosing one child over the other. I just can't do it because it's an unethical thing to do. I can't do it. I physically can't do it. Again, I don't know that she was, you know, what we would recommend in a think tank. What should she do? But we don't make decisions like that. We're not trained to make decisions like that. We make decisions based on right and wrong, even if it hurts. So, yeah, success, I'm not interested he's a millionaire, he's not a millionaire. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's right. And that's what we're focused on, and that's really the approach whenever you see Madua Derech Rishoim Tzolecha, why is the way of the wicked successful? That's all part of trusting Hashem. That Hashem can withdraw and allow it to happen and allow free will to play itself out. That doesn't make right and wrong. Okay. Number four, phenomenal concept. A person who trusts Hashem lives with an awareness that no one in creation has the ability to help or hinder him unless Hashem allows.
So people do have the ability to help if Hashem allows it.
That's correct. Hashem constantly peers people up. He peers up the person who deserves a black eye with the person who's wicked enough to bestow black eyes on people. And Hashem peers them up. He takes the person who wants to do bad and brings him to the person who deserves, for whatever reason, to have bad done to him. And likewise in the reverse. Hashem takes people who want to do good, who pray to God, help me do good for the community, and he picks people who deserve good to happen to them. And, you know, you're the one who thinks of who he should approach to get a new job. That's great. That's monumental. He peers up people who want to do good with people who deserve doing good.
He puts the idea in their mind?
Whatever it takes. He positions them. He puts ideas in mind. Yes. We're going to get to it. We're going to see wisdom is from Hashem. When it comes to morality, thoughts are part of free choice. That's true. Whether I think and fantasize of things that motivate a person to do bad, or I think and fantasize of things that motivate a person to do good, are free choice. It's up to the person. However, thoughts that are constructive, and even my success in controlling my mind after I make the effort, that's Hashem's assistance. If you're sitting working on a project and you come up with a solution, you come up with a creative way to present it, that's Hashem helping you. Sometimes you'll see it more overtly because it's a, you know, like the light bulb, ding, a spark of inspiration, and you say, you know, that was God. That had nothing to do with me. And you'll feel that way. And sometimes you really think it's yourself. I put in 20 hours into the project and I succeeded. And according to the laws of Bitachon, you're supposed to remember that the reason your mind works is because Hashem has bestowed that blessing upon you. There's still a lot of free choice. There's free choice whether you should bother trying the endeavor. There's free choice whether you get distracted with all kinds of silly things. And what you're thinking of is thoughts are free choice. If a person wants to fantasize about immoral things, so that's his free choice. I don't see it as a problem.
So artists who are creative, all the thoughts come from Hashem.
We're going to see how that doesn't mean they shouldn't take pride in it. It means that they're, so to speak, partners with Hashem. They should always see Hashem in their lives. Yes.
So it's not their idea, really.
That doesn't mean it's not their idea, so they should have a low self-esteem. It's not their idea, so therefore they should not be haughty. It's not theirs alone. It's Hashem with you. Hashem loves you. And Hashem is giving you and wants an ongoing relationship with you. And He's the one who gave that talent into your hand. You think your hand is something? I have this dramatic flair with my hand. Your hand is there because Hashem created humanity and He has you in mind too. people like to think. You know, Hashem made a billion people. You think He thinks about me? He just put the genetics in. That's not Jewish perspective. Hashem had you in mind as well.